This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:39 and we're moving on to our next story, which is about the fact that the relationship between tech companies and human rights are becoming more and more intertwined. And while most of us might be thinking that it's about, you know, social media companies, for example, and the role they play in the spread of misinformation, hate speech and fake news, I think it's also to kind of take another angle on that and look at how these companies, with the power that they have, can actually be a part of building a better environment, a better world, and addressing existing social problems.
Yeah, and there are many questions that you actually don't think about until you sort of sit down and view it through this human rights lens. So, for instance, on that question of building a better environment, simple things, where do you source your materials from? What kind of labor force do you use? Or in terms of addressing social problems, what about things like the digital gap, which we just spoke about in our previous segment? With the pandemic, online learning has become so important in ensuring children can access education. But what about the fact that many of them lack the devices, that they lack internet connectivity? So these are issues that can and should be folded into the corporate approach of a company.
Yeah, I think it's twofold, right? It's about how you address it within your own ranks, because that's so important. If you're going to be pushing out these sorts of initiatives into the world, then you also definitely need to make sure that your own house is clean. So that's one thing. But also, we need to acknowledge that the power of companies now, it's not always resting in how much they're worth. It's resting in their capital. And I think technological companies have a tremendous amount of capital and a tremendous amount of reach, which is why we wanted to talk about it. So if you have thoughts on how tech companies could perhaps be doing better in terms of ensuring that human rights are met within their own organization or in terms of pushing out human rights messaging into the world, you can let us know. But we're also going to be speaking now to Philip Ling, Head of Sustainability at Digi. Philip, thank you so much for joining us. So take us through this, right? What is the role of technology companies when it comes to tackling human rights issues?
So when we talk about human rights in a corporate setting, some of the things that is always on the focus for corporates are looking at whether we are looking at human rights in our operations. This could mean with our employees. This could mean with our supply chain. And of course, it also means with our customers and our community. Now, in the digital age, what has been different is that the operations of a company has now expanded on to a global platform, right? And which means that the data we are collecting from customers, that the ability for us to enable and empower various communities, it's much more larger. So one of the key things of when we talk about digital human rights is how do we, as a company, make sure that we respect the human rights of our stakeholders? And how do we protect the data that we have, example, so that the trust is maintained and we are able to operate in a way that's that respects human rights in all manner of society, right? And for a company like Digi, some of the guidance that we've taken, of course, there's a lot of laws around human rights, the popular one being Universal Declaration of Human Rights by United Nations. But Digi has also joined this human rights advocacy way back. This is back in 2012 when we took the guidance from the United Nations Guiding Principles on Business and Human Rights. So from then onwards, we've been building up the way we look at human rights with a filter to make sure that it's respected throughout the organization.
So Philip, was there a specific reason why the company was motivated to pay more attention to human rights?
Yes. That's a good question, because I think it's human rights is something that you can no longer neglect if you're doing business in today's generation. Companies are looking to be sustainable, to bring impact and value on the long run. Now, the only way you can do that is that you take in mind what's important for your stakeholders. And the basic human right is actually one of the most important elements when it comes to providing a service, when it comes to building partnerships with suppliers and business partners. So for Digi, this has become a main focus, again, because when it comes to digital services, How do you safeguard the trust that your customers has given you when they're using a service just like the internet, right? So that has been extremely important for us. And the other thing is also part of our DNA. For DG, one of our main pillars is actually responsible business. There are 10 elements that we actually focus on, and one of these elements is actually human rights, right? So human rights, for us, it also means looking at both the opportunity and the risk. So of course, risk, we have mentioned it about supply chain, about trust, privacy, but opportunities are also to enable underserved communities, right? There's a lot of people today who don't have access to the internet. And having access to the internet means having access to education, having access to empowerment. These are basic human rights that's needed at this generation.
You also talked about your focus on human rights in the supply chain. Could you tell us more about this?
So supply chain is also an important element when it comes to human rights. I think one of the things we see today is how do we provide decent working conditions for suppliers, right? So especially coming to this time when we're having a pandemic, one of the important things for the supply chain is to ensure that all our suppliers adhere to the standards and the best practices that we adhere to, right? So for example, at DG, we have something called a Supplier's Code of Principles, which means that as a supplier of DG, there are certain things that you have to adhere to, and many of these are related to human rights. So example, health and safety, right? So when a supplier climbs one of our base stations to do maintenance or to do repairs, it's important that the person is trained. It's important that the person is provided the safety harnesses and the protective gear in order to do his work. So these are decent working conditions that's necessary. So we're glad, especially that in this time when we can't do face-to-face interactions, there are a lot of digital tools that we're using. So for example, DG has a mobile app, it's called our Permit to Work app, where it allows us to do FaceTime with our suppliers to do inspections, right? To ensure that when they are working on sites, they have whatever is necessary and they adhere to the safety principles when they do their work. So the same thing also with the suppliers that are working for us. Be it our security guards or be it our cleaning services, to ensure that they have the basic human rights in place by their management in order for them to be a business partner today.
So going back to what you said about the digital divide, what will be your strategy to bridge this gap?
Yeah. So in providing access to the internet, I think one of the important things that we want to champion is actually something we call future skills, right? As the young people are growing up, it's important for them to be equipped with skills that allows them to enter the future workforce, to be relevant to the future workforce. And of course, we know that this for the digital divide, there's inequality when it comes to education and empowerment. So for DG, we've actually we are actually championing Sustainable Development Goal SDG 10, which is reducing inequality. We believe that the internet has the ability to close the gap, right? So example, some of the things we are doing is that we have internet centers across Malaysia. These internet centers are all in underserved areas where students or low-income communities are able to access the internet. And within that internet centers or our online modules, we've actually put future skills modules. So example, you can learn about coding, you can learn about programming, you can learn about microbits, right? And all this through the access on computer. And we've actually done this also in partnership with, example, the Ministry of Education. So during this year, during the various MCOs, the Ministry of Education has actually launched a platform called the LIMA, digital education platform, and we've actually put our module there, right? So any student today who's at home, who can't go to school, you can actually access that module and you can actually use it for free to learn basic skills on programming and coding. And all this would build in the interest for the student to prepare them for the future workforce.
So online safety is still a big issue, especially as we continue to grapple with things like cyberbullying and online scams targeted targeting the elderly in particular, what will be the company's role in addressing these problems?
Yeah, I think one of the great things about being a internet provider is our ability to reach almost 10 to 11 million customers. Now, the ability to reach them also means that we have the ability to empower them, to give them capacity building or awareness messages on how to be safe on the internet. So we've got various platforms that we engage with our stakeholders or customers. It could be social media, it could be website, it could be through our monthly bills that you pay. Now, all these are platforms or channels where we can teach them how to be safe online, how to be able to identify the risk like scams or frauds. And more importantly, where do you go to seek for help if you've fallen victim to one of these things? So again, that's one channel where we reach out to educate a lot of our customers. The other huge channel that we have is through partnership. We've got a global partnership, example, with UNICEF, a five-year partnership. So within that global partnership, we are actually creating a lot of interesting resources. We call it edutainment, right? It's both educational as well as entertaining for school children to be able to understand what consists of cyberbullying. When are you being groomed by a predator, right? And all these things are important for them to understand and important for them to be able to build up their resiliency towards this risk. It's important for us because this is actually the 10th year that we are championing safe internet. And throughout the 10 years, again, we've seen how the digital world evolves. As the digital world evolves, the risks are also evolving, which also means that the solutions have to evolve concurrently with it.
So within the organization, then, how will these principles of access, safety and health apply?
Yes. So when we talk about human rights within an organization, we are actually talking about a culture that you have to inbuild. So to build a culture, that's always various phases. Right? One, of course, you need to have that system in place for your policies, for your code of conducts, and for the values to in place. So we have that. Beyond that, we also have continuous awareness and training. And a lot of this training for human rights are scenario-based training, right? Where we look at how human rights and infringements or human rights issues can occur in businesses or in workplace or during a lot of community engagements, right? So using these learnings, we can equip and empower our staff to be able to know how to react to when you come across some human rights infringements, right? And it's also important for us to be transparent in our reporting. So Digi, we've been doing sustainability reporting for a number of years now. So within that sustainability reporting, it has a due diligence element, which we run also on a every year basis. So we do a human rights due diligence where we sweep across the company operations and identify where are the risk areas, if there's any gaps that you need to identify. And if so, what are the solutions that you can put in place in order to tackle any human rights risk or opportunities within the organization?
So are there any plans then to partner up with the government or other organizations to further these goals?
Yes, I think human rights, it's a topic that's being discussed. There's a lot of conversations going around it. For us, again, to continue our partnership with UNICEF, which is a global partnership. And of course, that looks at human rights when it comes to the young people, right, which is an important element. We've also been part of a lot of industry forums, a lot of industry organizations. So I think in corporate Malaysia, you see a lot of huge players that understands the importance of human rights. Now, coming together as a group, to be able to identify issues and to be able to work together towards these issues are very important. And also as a society, as we move forward as a society, to be able to see where are the underserved communities, to be able to recognize where are the gaps in communities that needs to be closed. So example, Digi has just signed an ongoing partnership with Mercy Malaysia to look at building up some of the needs, looking at some of the gaps during this time of need, during the pandemic, where a lot of underserved communities are being neglected, right? So how do you serve those communities during this time? So these are ways that we address human rights in communities.
Philip, before we let you go, you mentioned earlier that there are resources for awareness and education when it comes to this. Where can people find out more?
Yes. So the human rights is under our Yellow Heart banner. Yellow Heart is a DG's responsible business. So if you search for Yellow Heart, DG Yellow Heart, you'll actually be able to access a lot of our resources. In fact, this whole month, we are putting a focus on scams and frauds. So you'll be, if you search for it, you'll be actually be able to see, example, a list of the different type of scams and frauds that you are getting on your phone, on your SMS. So you'll be able to identify it. On our DG's community page, we also give you the option where you can report scams, where you can connect to the authorities for assistance, and also ability for you to share out those information for your family members and for your loved ones and your friends, so they too can be safe in this time.
Philip, thank you so much for being on the show with us. That was Philip Ling, Head of Sustainability at DG, talking about the relationship between technology and human rights and the role that companies play in all of this. Up next, we've got some music to take you to the news. And then after that, it is, of course, the football. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.